Hey friends, this is Zara on the History and the Mystery. The journey of this book has come to an end with this episode 9. We are in the end of this journey, yeah. I really hope this journey will make your life fruitful. It was really a great experience, and now we have come to an end. The book Ikigai, The Japanese Secret to a Long and Happy Life, written by Hector Garcia and Francis Miralles, narrated to you by me, Zara. Here we go. Chapter 9, The Silence and Wabi Sabi. How to face life's challenges without letting stress and worry age you. What is resilience? One thing that everyone with a clearly defined ikigai has in common is that they pursue their passion no matter what. They never give up, even when the cards seem stacked against them or they face one hurdle after another. We are talking about resilience, a concept that has become influential among psychologists. But resilience isn't just the ability to perceive. As we will see in this chapter, it is also an outlook we can cultivate to stay focused on important things in life rather than what is most urgent, and to keep ourselves from being carried away by negative emotions. In the final session of the chapter, we'll explore techniques that go beyond resilience to cultivate anti-fragility. Sooner or later, we'll all have to face difficult moments, and the way we do is this can make a huge difference to our quality of life. Proper training for our mind, body, and emotional resilience is essential for confronting life's ups and downs. Famous Japanese proverb, Nana Korobi Ya Oki, which means, fall 7 times, rise 8. Silence is our ability to deal with setbacks. The more resilient we are, the easier it will be to pick up ourselves up and get back to what gives meaning to our life. Resilient people know how to stay focused on their objectives, on what matters, without giving into discouragement. Their flexibility is the source of their strength. They know how to adapt to change and to reversal for fortune. They concentrate the things they can control and do not worry about those they can't. In other words, a famous serenity prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish one from another. Emotional resilience through Buddhism and Stoicism. Siddhartha Gautama, known as Buddha, was born a prince of Kapilavastu, Nepal, and grew up in a palace surrounded by riches. At 16, he married and had a child. Not satisfied by his family's wealth, at 29, he decided to try a different lifestyle and ran away from the palace to live an ascetic. But it wasn't asceticism that he was looking for. It didn't offer the happiness and well-being he sought. Neither wealth nor extreme asceticism worked for him. He realized that a wise person should not ignore life's pleasure. A wise person can live with this pleasure but should not always remain conscious of how easy it is to be enslaved by them. Zeno of Citium began his studies with cynics. The cynics also led ascetic lives. Leaving behind all earthly pleasure, they lived in the street, and the only thing they owned was the clothing on their backs. Seeing the cynicism, did not give him a sense of well-being. Zeno abandoned its teaching to found the school of Stoicism, which centers on the idea that there is nothing wrong with enjoying life's pleasure as long as they do not take control of your life as you enjoy them. You have to be prepared for those pleasures to disappear. The goal is not to eliminate all the feelings and pleasure from our lives as cynicism, but to eliminate negative emotions. Since their inception, of one of the objectives of both Buddhism and Stoicism has been to control pleasure, emotions, and desire. Though the philosophies are very different, both aim to curb our ego and control our negative emotions. Both Stoicism and Buddhism are, at their roots, methods for practicing well-being. According to Stoicism, our pleasures and desires are not the problem. We can enjoy them as long as they don't take control of us. The Stoics viewed those who were able to control their emotions as virtuous. What's the worst thing that could happen? We finally land our dream job, but after a little while, we are already hunting for a better one. We win the lottery and buy a nice car, but then decide we can't live without a sailboat. We finally win the heart of the man or woman we have been pining for, and suddenly we find we have a wandering eye. People can't be instable. The Stoics believe that these kinds of desire and ambitions are not worth pursuing. The objective of virtuous person is to reach a state of tranquility, the absence of negative feelings such as anxiety, fear, shame, vanity, and anger, and the presence of positive feelings such as happiness, love, serenity, and gratitude. In order to keep their minds virtuous, the Stoics practice something like negative visualization. They imagined the worst thing that could happen in order to be prepared if certain privileges and pleasures were taken off from them. To practice negative visualization, we have to reflect on negative events, but without worrying about them. Seneca, one of the richest men in ancient Rome, lived a life of luxury, but was nonetheless an active Stoic. He recommended practicing negative visualization every night before falling asleep. In fact, he not only imagined these negative situations, he actually put them into practice. For example, by living for a week without servants or the food and drink he was used to. As a healthy, wealthy man, as a result, he was able to answer the question, what the worst thing that could happen? Meditating for healthier emotions. In addition to give negative visualization and not giving into negative emotion, another central tenet of Stoicism is knowing what we can control and what we can't, as we see in serenity prayer. Worrying about things that are beyond our control accomplishes nothing. We should have a clear sense of what we can change and what we can't, which in turn will allow us to resist giving in to our negative emotions. In other words of Epictetus, it's not what happens to you, but how you react that matters. In Zen Buddhism, meditation is a way to become aware of our desires and emotions and thereby free ourselves from them. It is not simply a question of keeping the mind free of thoughts, but instead involves observing our thoughts and emotions as they appear without getting carried away by them. In this way, we train our minds not to get swept up in anger, jealousy, our resentment. One of the most commonly used mantras in Buddhism focuses on controlling negative emotions. Om Mani Padma, which Om is generosity that purifies the ego, Ma is the ethics that purifies jealousy, Ni is the patience that purifies passion and desire, Pad is the prishin that purifies bias, Me is the surrender that purifies greed, and is the wisdom that purifies hatred. The here and now and impermanence of things. Another key to cultivating the silence is knowing in which time to live. Both Buddhism and Stoicism remind us that present is all that exists and it is the only thing we can control. Instead of worrying about the past or future, we should appreciate things just as they are in the moment, in the now. The only moment in which you can be truly alive is present moment, observes the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. In addition to living in the here and now, the Skeptics recommend reflecting on impermanence of things around us. Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius said that the things we love are like the leaves of trees. They can fall at any moment with a gust of wind. He also said that changes in the world around us are not accidental but rather form part of essence of the universe, rather Buddhist notion. In fact, we should never forget that things we have and all the people we love will disappear at some point. This is something we should keep in mind, but without giving in the persism. Being aware of the impermanence of things does not have to make us sad. It should help us to love the present moment and those who surround us. All things humans are short-lived and foreseeable, Seneca tells us. The temporary, ephemeral, and impermanent nature of the world is central to every Buddhist discipline. Keeping this always in mind helps us avoid excessive pain and time losses. Wabi Sabi and Ichigo Ichi. Wabi Sabi is a Japanese concept that shows us the beauty of fleeting, changeable and imperfect nature of the world around us. Instead of searching for the beauty in perfection, we should look for it in things that are flawed, incomplete. This is why Japanese place such value for an example on an irregular or cracked teacup. One thing that are imperfect, incomplete and ephemeral can truly be beautiful because only those things resembles the natural world. A complementary Japanese concept is that of Ichigo Ichi, would be translated as this moment exists only now and won't come again. It is heard most often in social gathering as a reminder that each encounter, whether with friends, family or strangers, is unique and will never be repeated, meaning that we should enjoy the moment and not lose ourselves in worries about past or future. The concept is commonly used in tea ceremonies, Zen meditation, and Japanese martial arts, all of which place emphasis on being present in the moment. In the West, we have grown accustomed to permanence of the stone building and cathedrals of Europe, which sometimes gives us a sense that nothing changes, making us forget about the passage of time. Greco-Roman architecture adores symmetry, sharp lines, imposing facades and buildings, and statues of gods that outlast the centuries. Japanese architecture, on other hand, doesn't try to be imposing or perfect. The because it is built in the spirit of Wabi Sabi. The tradition of making sculptures out of wood presupposes their impermanence and the need for the future generation to rebuild them. Japanese culture accepts fleeting nature of human being and everything we create. The grand shrine of ease, for example, has been rebuilt every 20 years for centuries. The most important thing is not to keep the building standing for generations, but to preserve customs and traditions, things that can withstand the passage of time better than structure made by human hands. The key is to accept that there are certain things over which we have no control, like the passage of time and impermanent nature of the world around us. Ichigo Ichi teaches to focus on the present and enjoy each moment that life brings us. This is why it is so important to find and pursue our ikigai. Wabi Sabi teaches to appreciate the beauty of imperfection as an opportunity for growth. Beyond resilience, anti-fragility. As the legend goes, the first time Hercules faced the Hydra, he despaired when he discovered that cutting off one of its head meant that two would grow back in the same place. He would never be able to kill the beast if it got stronger with every wound. As Nysum Nicholas explains in Anti-Fragile, things that gain from disorder, we use the word fragile to describe people, things and organizations that are weakened when harmed, and the words robust and resilient for the things that are able to withstand harm without weakening. But we don't have a word for things that get stronger when harmed. To refer to the kind of power possessed by the Hydra of Lerna, to talk about things that get stronger when they are harmed, Taleb proposes the term antifragile. Antifragility is beyond resilience or robustness. The resilient resists shocks and stays the same, and antifragile gets better. Catastrophe and exceptional circumstances offer good models for explaining anti-fragility. In 2011, a tsunami hit Tohoku region of Japan, doing tremendous damage to dozens of cities and towns along the coast, most famously Fukushima. When we visited the affected coast of 2 years after catastrophe, having driven for hours along cracked highways, we passed one empty gas station after another. We passed through several ghost towns whose streets have been taken over by remnants of house piles of cars and empty drying stations. These towns were fragile spaces that had been forgotten by the government and could not recover on their own. Other places like Ishinomaki and Keshanuma suffered extensive damage but will rebuild within years. Thanks to the efforts of so many, Ishinomaki and Keshanuma showed how resilient they were in their ability to return to normal after the catastrophe. The earthquake that caused the tsunami also affected Fukushima nuclear power plant. The Tokyo Electric Power Company engineers working at the plant were not prepared to recover from that kind of damage. Fukushima nuclear facility is still in a state of emergency and will be for decades to come. It demonstrated its fragility in the face of unprecedented catastrophe. The Japanese financial markets closed minutes after the earthquake, which businesses did the best in the aftermath. Stocks in big construction companies has been steadily on the since rise in 2011. The need to rebuild the entire coast of Tohoku Kosh is boon for construction. In this case, Japanese construction companies are anti-fragile since they benefited enormously from the catastrophe. Now, let us take a look at how we can apply this concept on daily lives. How can we be more anti-fragile? Step 1. Create more options. Instead of having a single salary, try to find a way to make money from your hobbies at other jobs or by starting your own business. If you have only one salary, you might be left with nothing should your employer run into trouble, leaving you in a position of fragility. On the other hand, if you have several options and you choose lose your primary job, it might just happen that you end up dedicating more time to your secondary job and maybe even make more money at it. You would have been beaten that stroke of bad luck and would be in the case of anti-fragile. 100% of the seniors were interviewed in the OGME had a primary and a secondary occupation. Most of them kept a vegetable garden as a secondary job and sold their produce at the local market. The same idea goes for friendships and personal interests. It's just the matter, as saying goes, of not putting all your eggs in one basket. In the sphere of romantic relationship, there are those who focus all their energy on their partner and make him or her their whole world. Those people lose everything if relationship doesn't work out, whereas if they are cultivated strong friendship and a full lifelong the way, they will be in a better position to move on at the end of a relationship. They will be anti-fragile. Right now, you might be thinking, I don't need more than one salary and I'm happy with the friends I have always had. Why should I add anything new? It might seem like a waste of time to add variation to our lives because extraordinary things don't ordinarily happen. We slip into comfort zone, but the unexpected always happens sooner or later. Step 2. Bet conservatively in certain areas and take many small risks in others. The world of finance turns out to be very useful in explaining this concept. If you have $10,000 saved up, you might put $9,000 of that into an index fund or a fixed term deposit and invest the remaining $1,000 in 10 startups with huge growth potential, say $100 in each. One possible scenario is that 3 of the company fails and you lose $300. The value of 3 other companies goes down and you lose another $100 or $200. The value of 3 company goes up and you make $100 or $200. And the value of 1 startup increases 20-fold. You make nearly $2,000 or maybe even more. You still make money even if 3 of the business go completely belly up. You have benefited from the damage, just like Hydra. The key of becoming anti-fragile is on taking small risks that might lead you to greater reward. Without exposing ourselves in danger that might sink us, such as investing $10,000 fund in a questionable reputation that we saw advertised in newspaper. Step 3. Get rid of things that make you fragile. We are taking the negative route for this exercise. Ask yourself, what makes me fragile? Certain people, things and habits generate losses for us and makes us vulnerable. Who and what are they? When we make our New Year's resolution, we tend to emphasize adding new challenges to our life. It's also great to have this kind of objective, but setting good riddance goals can have even bigger impact. For example, stop snacking between meals. meals, eating sweets only once a week, gradually pay off all debts, avoid spending time with toxic people, avoid spending time on doing things we don't enjoy simply because we feel obliged to them. Spend no more than 20 minutes on Facebook per day. To rebuild resilience into our lives, we shouldn't fear adversity because each setback is an opportunity for growth. If we adopt an anti-fragile attitude, we'll find a way to get stronger with every blow, refining our lifestyle and staying focused on our ikigai. Taking a hit or two can be viewed as either a misfortune or an experience that we can apply to all areas of our life as we continually make corrections and set new and better goals. As Taleb writes in Anti-Fragile, we need randomness, mess, adventures, uncertainties, self-discoveries, your traumatic episode, all these things that make life worth living. We encourage those interested in the concept of anti-fragility to read Narcissus Nicholas Taleb's Anti-Fragile. Life is pure in perfection, as the philosophy of Wabi Sabi teaches us, and the passage of time shows us that everything is fleeting, but if you have a clear sense of your ikigai, each moment will hold so many possibilities that it will seem almost like an eternity. So now, we have entered this intellectual journey. I personally learned many things from this book: awareness of impermanence, anti-fragile attitude, gentle movements, diet, etc. And these small habits will definitely make us survive any situation in our life. Remember to add new things to your life that will make your life to be cherished. Please let me know your thoughts about this book, Ikigai, and your learning from this journey. Follow me on the Instagram and Facebook page on the link given below in the description. Thank you so much for traveling in this awesome eye-opening journey with me. I really hope you enjoyed this journey. Please be free to comment what should be the next book I should narrate to you. And stay safe, stay tuned with me, Zara, on History and the Mystery.